Let us all say amen. Let us all say amen. Amen. I don't know about you. Why think about going somewhere and you don't go? I plan to make heaven my home. And so therefore, if I plan to make heaven my home, there are some things I must do on this time side of life. Jesus says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That song there is very important to me because it reminds me of where I came from. Amen. I came out of the cesspools of immorality, and so did you. But that song there gives me confidence and gives me reassurance that if I do what God said, I know which way I'm going to head when life is over. In John chapter 14 and roundabout verse number 1, Jesus would pen these words and remind the believer that in the midst of our trials and tribulation, you can depend on me because I'll always be there for you. You know, I've had some fair weather friends. Amen, Walls. And I've had some true friends. But the Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, and I'm glad that I know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have never told you. And then Jesus says, stand, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So how do I get to the place that Jesus has prepared for me? I'm glad you asked me, because I stopped by this morning to tell you, in order to make heaven your home, there are some things you got to do. First and foremost, you got to surrender your will to what thus saith the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, deny your very existence. Jesus says, and then take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose his life. And then Jesus says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then Jesus raises a question. What does it profit a man? How much do you need? I got a checkbook up here and it's blank. How much you need? What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And then Jesus says, what would you give in exchange for your soul? When you talk about going that way, why come if you don't really plan to go that way? I don't know about you. When I plan to go somewhere, I go that way no matter how I feel, how I look. Amen. So if I'm planning to go to heaven, there are some things I must do. Want to welcome each and every one of you that are visiting with us this morning. Want to encourage you and remind you that you are our honored guests. And hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that'll cause you to think about your soul salvation. I have but one purpose, one mission in life. And I've learned that that mission, that goal, that responsibility is to help men out of darkness into a marvelous life. God has entrusted me. Man, you ever entrust something to somebody? Huh? And you expect them to live up to what you've entrusted to them, do you not? And when they don't live up to what you entrusted to them, what do? Oh, y'all don't want to talk this morning. That's all right. But I'm glad I can trust God, because he said in Matthew chapter 28, around about verse number 20, I'll be there always. And I want to encourage us this morning, as we're going to be looking at this text for the rest of this year, where Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus, words to encourage them, to remind them the unity of the Spirit is already there. I'm learning something. I'm learning that God don't need me. He don't need you either. In case you think he don't need you. We need God. And in order for us to serve God the way God requires, it requires each and every one of us to understand where we fit in this plan that God has laid out for everybody on this face of the earth, on this time side of life. I want to encourage you this morning as we look at this lesson and remind you, those of us who have obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, those of us who have went into this watery grave, and because we confess that Jesus is the Son of God and we come up out of this watery grave, God expects you to do what you said you would do. Amen. And I want to encourage you, if I'm scaring somebody, good. Because I'd rather scare you in doing what God said than to see your soul eternally lost. My job, my responsibility is to proclaim the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. Church, I stopped by this morning to remind those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel. You better get busy. You better stay on track. Because Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, where would the sinner and the unbeliever believe? And he said, and we're scarcely going to make it. Well, that's scary to me. When I look at God and I look at the history book, some of y'all don't know what I did, but some of y'all do. That wasn't no gang sign. That's right. I feel good this morning. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I feel good this morning. God woke me up. I'm here to praise his name. I have a message for those of us who are part of the body of Christ. You know, I think sometimes we get so comfortable in our Christian walk that we forget that God expects us to do something. You can come sit all day long and still go to hell. I've learned that. I've learned you can come in here and be the nicest, the kindest person on the face of the earth and still not make heaven your home. I'm learning in order for you to make heaven your home, you have to be just like Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you that this morning as we look at our lesson. Appreciate those words that Nicholas read from the Word of God. And I encourage all of our men, young men, old men, God wants you to be in service. And he wants us to give him his very best. Title of the lesson this morning, Are You Led by the Spirit? And I want to show you this morning from the Word of God, all of us are led by a spirit. Now, whether it is the Spirit of God, it depends on the time of the day, and it depends on how people treat you, isn't it right? Somebody say amen. But see, if you're really led by the Spirit of God, God's Spirit guides you, it teaches you, and it helps control this little monster that's behind the pearly white. In our lesson text, the Apostle Paul would write these words to encourage the believer. Verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you that you walk worthy of your calling. Paul here says, now that you've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, you need to live up to what you said you were going to do. And oftentimes I use the analogy of going into the military. When I went in, I said, I do what you commanded me to do. And guess what? Now that I come up out of that watery grave, you know nothing else is important to me but the gospel. Nothing else is important but making heaven my home. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Somewhere down the line, the believer reached plateaus in his Christian walk, to where we're no longer like the Gentiles, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Somewhere down the line, the believer steps up, steps out, and stands firm on the Word of God. Look at the world we live in. It's a mess. And sad to say that some of us sitting here might be a mess. But I just stopped by this morning to tell you, you don't have to be a mess. If he can clean me up and put me on the right track, I know good and well he can help you. And this morning's lesson is designed to help both those that are saved and those that have not obeyed the gospel. What leads you in your everyday life? And I want to show you from the Word of God. Paul says that we are led by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God, it guides us. It directs us. In John chapter 16 and round about verse number 13, when Jesus prepared himself to go on back to glory, he told his apostles, I must go. But guess what? I'm going to leave something here for you. And I'm so glad he left the Holy Spirit and not so many of us. Amen. Well, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Rest of y'all gone on back to sleep. I'll be through in a few minutes. Church, somewhere down the line, either we believe it or we don't. And I that's just me. I'm just plain. And if you came to hear something other than just the plain truth, you're in the wrong place. Because all I got is the plain truth, because I know what the truth to do. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, You are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why the shackles of men don't bind me. That's why the cares of this world really don't trouble me, because I see a better place. You know, when I stop and I look at life itself, and Lord help me to say, maybe in a couple months I'll be another year older. And if he says the same, I'm just going to be just as fiery as I am today when another year is added to my life. Why? Because I know who holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering. See, sometimes long-suffering stops us in our track. How long do we put up with people? How humble, how submissive are we? Yeah, y'all quiet, because I know I'm on the right nerve, because I've already ran it by my toes, and so I know I'm on your toes. Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And verses 4, 5, and 6 is a testimony to the believer. And you need to understand something. When he talks about one body, he's telling us as believers, who told you you can do whatever you want to do in the body? Because if we're one body, then one body is supposed to do what thus saith the Lord, is it not? So that means when it's time to serve, you're ready to serve. It's time to be praising God, you're so happy. And I'm just going by what the Bible says. The Bible says there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one and Father of all, who is above all and in you all. And the question is, what Spirit really leads you? And I want to show you this morning that you can be led by a different spirit and you think you're okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's in your Bible, whether you know it or not. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but rather try the spirit, test the spirit. John here says, you don't believe everything that you come in contact, but try, test your spirit. When's the last time you test your spirit? Did you test it this morning? Should have tested all last week to make sure that the spirit is in the right place. John says, try the spirit, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this spirit is the Antichrist. John says, try the spirit. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to ask you and I want you to test what spirit that you really possess. See, because the Spirit of God has a mindset. It has an attitude. And I want to show you this morning that when you have the proper spirit and connect with the Spirit produces something in you that folks know.
That's right. How many people in here, do the people next door to you know who you are? Huh? Do they? If I was to go around and ask them about you, what would they tell me? Huh? Y'all quiet. Because, see, to try the Spirit means that I must be living in the Spirit. I want to show you some of the characteristics of the Spirit I'm going to talk about in the next few minutes. Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse number 22. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying of one another. See, I'm learning that when you got the right type of spirit, the Spirit of God guides you and it directs you every single day of your life. And so when you say that slip, it didn't slip. That's the spirit that you have. Because I'm learning that when you study, when you meditate upon the Word of God, the Spirit of God guides you and directs you in your everyday life. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit. It will take what I taught you and make it known unto you. See, the Spirit of God is designed to help us as believers to understand what God wants us to do on this time side of life. You think he just wants you to come here and look good? No, maybe so. I don't know. That's right. I don't have nothing. I ain't got nothing but time. God wants us to be able to get out of this place and go out into that world and tell them about his son. See, I'm learning that when we really understand the spirit that we have, it makes a testimony. Psalms division 106 and 107 verses 1 and 2. The Bible says he sent redemption unto his people. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If anybody got a right to hoop and holler, it ought to be us. But the mouses I got up in the ceiling, y'all quieter than they are. I hear them running around more than I hear you. Amen. And somewhere down the line, if we got a testimony, the world ought to know it. It's a better place. And that place is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, but I'm learning. You got to understand what spirit you have. See, when you got the spirit that guides and directs you, you speak as the oracles of God. When you don't have the spirit, Jesus would even ask the question. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? See, the spirit of God produces something in the believer. It gives him assurance. It gives him confidence. And he can't help himself but to talk about how God has been good to him. And I'm learning that when you really have the right spirit, you don't have to ask people who you are. You don't have to walk around with it around your neck or on your bumper sticker. People will know who you are by the way you live your life. See, the mission that God has entrusted to you and I is salvation to the world. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Do what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do what? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, Jesus says, I am with you even until the end of the world. See, Jesus expects you and I to do something. John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12, the Bible says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. See, church, I'm learning that the spirit that God has entrusted to you and I is the same spirit that God gave his son. Maybe we have a different measure, but guess what? We still have the self same spirit. And when you let go and let the spirit of God really guide and direct you, Satan doesn't stand a chance. He has no control over us. We walk around fearful. We walk around as if there's no hope. You can't mess with me. You know why? I served up. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you. And when you serve God and understand who God really is, Romans chapter 8, Paul says in verse 28, and we know that all things work to good for together them that love the Lord, for them that are called according to his purpose. Paul says, I know something. I know something too, that when I leave this time side of life, I got a place eternal in the heavens. And you know what? I live like I'm already there. Why? Because I know one day he's going to call me. Church, I want to encourage our hearts and to remind us as believers, 2020, do you still have 2019 mentality? If so, it's time to repent and get on the right track and do the will of the Father. See, Jesus set the tone. He set the example. John chapter 8 and verse number 29, Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. John chapter 16 and round about verse number 33, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, that's not the passage. That's not the pastor. See, y'all, that's why y'all need to know y'all's Bible. John 16, 33 says what? These things I've said unto you, that in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. See, he set the example. And if he set the example that the world has no say-so over me, why do we surrender so much of our time to the world? Huh? Oh, you give God a nickel's worth of praise and you expect 200% of his glory. Ought not to be so. See, I'm learning that when you really understand what spirit leads you, then it takes on a whole new meaning. And let me show you, the spirit that led our Lord and Savior is the same spirit that leads you and I. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and round about verse number 1, the Bible said, and I like the Bible because it's real. The Bible says, then Jesus was led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Boy, would to God we could get a 40-day diet like that. Wouldn't have half the problems we have. Amen, Walls. The Bible says in verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil take him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And see, but you got to know what spirit leads you, because right here, the devil is quoting God's word. So you can have a spirit, and the spirit don't necessarily have to be the spirit of God, because the devil says it is written, he shall give angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil takes him up into an exceedingly high mountain and show him all of the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. The Bible said, then said Jesus unto him, get thee behind, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. See, Jesus set the standard. And I'm learning that when you mess with me, I go to what's written. When Satan throws those dreary darts at me, I've learned to go to the word of God, because it is written. I want to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ. 2020, it's time to roll up our sleeves, because somebody needs Jesus. And you know what I'm learning? The only way they're going to see Jesus is they have to see it in you and I. See, what spirit really leads us? You know, is the question that I often ask myself. I often ask myself, what spirit guides and directs me? If I take my eyes off of the cross and put them on you, then I have the wrong spirit that leads me, because I can see your faults as well as my own. And somewhere down the line, I've learned not to do that. But do we really listen to the Spirit of God? Do we really listen to the Spirit? The Spirit of God is always available in the believer's life. That Spirit guides us. It directs us in our everyday life. And it helps us to stay on the right track. That's why Jesus told his disciples that he's going to take what he learned of me and make it known unto you. And I'm learning, church, that when you listen to the Spirit of God, it can control the monster behind the pearly white. I'm learning that when you really let go and let the Spirit of God dictate to you, boy, you'll learn how to get along with everybody you come in contact with, because you'll learn to be humble and submissive. And I know that's the biggest problem in the world in which we live today. Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it. I know it's the truth. Our biggest problem is we're not submissive to God. And so if you can't be submissive to the Creator, no way will you be submissive to the creature. And I'm learning, church, you got to learn to listen to the Spirit. And not only must you learn to listen to the Spirit, you know something about the Spirit? You know what it does? It edifies the body. You know, when you ain't here, when you miss it in action, when you don't give an account of yourself, I'm going to talk to the wall because I'm tired of y'all looking at me. When you are not here to edify the body of Christ, you got the wrong spirit. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 8, round about 14 and following, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then Paul says, those that are led by the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. And those that are led by the, and if you have not the Spirit of God, Paul says, you're none of his. I want to encourage us and remind us, our purpose is to edify the body of Christ. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 4. That's why when it's time to serve, church, nothing else important to me but to come and give you some words to encourage your heart, to help you to see that in the midst of your trials and tribulation, I'm here for you. But that means I got to be in your business. And you know you don't like nobody in your business, do you? Amen. That's right. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, and he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sliding of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joints together and compacted about, that every joint supplies. Isn't that what I just said? When you're missing in action, you can't supply. Boy, could you imagine if your foot stopped working? You'd have to ask yourself a question. What's wrong with my heart? Because you're supposed to supply some blood. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted about, that every joint supply according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that may increase of the body unto edifying itself in love. That's right. I don't need no external things. That's why he gave me you. And when you come here with your smile, time to smile, with your motivation, it motivates me. It drives me to go to a higher level. Not only are we designed to edify the body, you know, I'm learning when you're led by the Spirit, you have an attitude. And the attitude has to be the attitude that Christ had. Christ had an attitude. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and have given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, bow now, or you will bow later. Every knee shall bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm learning the attitude that we possess, church, has to be the attitude that Jesus Christ had. Jesus had an attitude that I believe that if we develop in 2020, we can overcome many of the obstacles. The Bible says when he was reviled, he didn't even open up his mouth. When he stood before Pilate's seat, and as they were ready to crucify him, Pilate says, do you hear not what the folks say? Don't you know I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? And I like Jesus. Jesus says, thou have no power over me except it be given thee from above. Don't you know what that means to you and I? Satan can't control us. That's right. As long as you walk in the light as he is in the light, as long as you're doing what God says to do, Satan cannot touch you and he has to ask permission. That's what motivates me. He can't mess with me. You can't either. Amen. Well, you got to ask permission of my Father. And the only way God gives permission for Satan to mess with me is when I fall into self-induced nonsense, S-I-N. And I'm learning that when I keep my mind focused on him, God will guide and direct me in my everyday life. Do you listen to the Spirit? Do you edify the body? What's your attitude? Do you have that mindset of Christ? Because Christ had his mindset. He did things that folks said that he ought not to do, but he did it. Jesus did what the Father commanded him to do. And finally, are you a doer of the word? Or do you give him good lip service? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and in thy name cast out many devils? And Jesus said, I said, depart, I never knew you. In Matthew chapter 7, I believe, and round about verse number 13, the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which goeth in, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few there be shall find it. Are you a doer of the work, or do you just give God just mere lip service? See, when it's time to serve God, church, that ought to motivate us to a much higher plateau. And Matthew chapter 13, as I start to close, as I said start, Jesus said these words to encourage the believer. In Matthew chapter 13, around about verse number 15, Jesus says, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandment of men. And that's not the right passage. Now, how can I catch that and y'all didn't? Amen, Walls. Don't get caught up in the moment. Make sure I speak as the oracles of God. See, that's how Satan deceives us. You know, he gets us so caught up, and because you get emotional, I get emotional, and something strikes you, and you get to feeling all good, and I get to misquote, huh? 15:8, see? And it's important because, church, salvation, your soul is at stake, and you need to make sure. As I close, are you a doer of the work? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and round about verse number 24, the Bible says a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan can't touch us unless we fall short of the glory of God. Are you a doer of the word, or do you just sit by day? And finally, as I close, James chapter 1, and round about verse number 22. Verse 19, James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Amen. I just wanted to make sure you were with me here. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes away, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's why I need you, church. I need you to stay on the right track. You need me to stay on the right track. And the more we stay on the right track, the less we have to worry about that other fellow. And in conclusion, Paul in our lesson text would remind the believer to do your best, to try harder, to do the utmost to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul reminds the believer of how important it is that you and I bond like super glue and stick together regardless of the trials and tribulations we're going to face. Paul reminds the believers that when we stay on track with the Holy Spirit, Satan does not stand a chance. God gets the glory that's due him, and we become better people in the process. Are you led by the Spirit of God? If you're here this morning and you stand in need, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I encourage you, stop and ask yourself a question. Judgment Day is coming. It's coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that is done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I want to persuade the body of Christ here. It's time to get busy. There are some souls that need us, and that requires each and every one of us to step up to the plate and do what God requires. Those of you that are visiting that may not understand what I'm talking about, see me later, but I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of a living God? Are you willing to be buried in water for the remission of your sin? That places you in the body of Christ, the church. And guess what? You can be happy and free just like me. Amen. I'm happy and I'm free. I can't. Two things I can't give y'all. Two things. You know what the first thing is? I can't give you my faith. You know what the second thing is? I can't give you my motivation. You know why? Because I got mine from here. I know what he's done for me. And boy, when I want to holler and shout, whoo, you don't have to, because I understand that when he closed these eyes, I got a place prepared for me before the foundation of the world. Boy, that's exciting. You know, I live in a place right now that I have to pay all of this stuff, but I got a place paid for. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.